appreciate that most fervent prayer this morning, and what a wonderful God we serve. And I ask that you would continue to pray for me, and just want you to know that I don't take for granted any of the blessings that God has provided me and my family through this church. And I know I've said it before, but I'm just thankful to be home and be here with you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. If you want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in Ruth chapter 1. Over the next several weeks, I'd like to try to speak from the book of Ruth, but this morning I want to speak on the subject of Ruth and the providence of God. This past Wednesday night, I had a wonderful opportunity to visit with one of our sisters, Sister Sarah Whitehead. I don't want to put her on the spot, but had a great visit with her about the events of last weekend and how the Lord richly blessed. And she made mention of having to prepare for a big test that she had for one of her classes that was coming up, and it was running in conflict with the meeting, and there was some challenges with figuring out how to prepare for the test, but also how to be a part of the meeting. And I felt her pain. I'd been there myself a time or two, but the Lord blessed her to pass the test, and that took the conversation to the wonderful blessing of God knowing our needs, God being actively involved in the lives of His people. And that's a wonderful blessing. And if you don't get anything else out of the message this morning, I hope that you will be reminded that our God is indeed an active God. He's an acting God. He does not react, but He acts. Sometimes I think in our flesh, we oftentimes relegate God to just a back row participant in the events of history, that He's just, and some people actually have the philosophy that God just kind of got the ball rolling and then stands aloof from everything that's happening. No, what we understand from the Word of God is that He's actively ruling, He's actively reigning. As I mentioned a few weeks ago as we looked in the book of Daniel, He's the one that governs the governors of this world. And what we have in the book of Ruth is that wonderful truth that God is indeed actively involved in the lives of His people. So we'll start reading in Ruth chapter 1 this morning, and we'll read down to about verse 17 and pray that the Lord would bless this message to be one that would be of encouragement to us this morning. Ruth chapter 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Epaphroditus of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there." Verse 3 says, "In Elimelech, Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah," not Oprah, Orpah, "and the name of the other, Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." Verse 6 says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, 'Go return each of you to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you might find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband.' And she kissed them, and they lifted their voice and wept." Verse 10, "And they said unto her, 'Surely we will return with thee unto thy people.' And Naomi said, 'Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and also would bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." Verse 14 says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And notice this, verse 15. She said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." What a wonderful story we have here in the book of Ruth. I can remember in high school, in a high school literature book, reading the book of Ruth. I don't know if we've gotten so far away from spiritual things now that that's no longer a story that's upheld in classic literature, but this is a book that throughout history has been regarded as wonderful literature, a wonderful story of the blessings of God. But even more than just it being a novel or a wonderful piece of literature, it's the inspired Word of God that teaches us several great lessons. I think a lot of times, and we'll see this as we continue looking at the book of Ruth, we see the wonderful story of redemption. The book of Ruth points us to our Redeemer, our heavenly husband, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But what I want us to look at this morning with the Lord being our helper is the wonderful blessing of God being active in the lives of His people. See, the wonderful blessing of the providence of God and God making provision. I think about the hymn that we sing oftentimes here at this place, that God moves in mysterious ways. William Cowper wrote that hymn many years ago, but one particular passage that comes to mind as we think about the plight here of Naomi and Ruth is that verse in that song that goes, "Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust Him for His grace. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling face." Isn't that wonderful to think about? And that's the wonderful, wonderful message of the book of Ruth, that our God is actively involved in our lives. Our God is actively involved even in the times that it seems like there's no hope. And what we have here in Ruth chapter 1, the vast majority of this chapter, it seems to be a hopeless situation, doesn't it? We remember this was written during the time of Judges. If you've been reading through the book of Judges in your Bible reading, you understand that wasn't the greatest of times for the nation of Israel. It was a time when over and over and over again, it even ends with this quote, that God's people just did that which was right in their own eyes. You know, when we start doing what's right in our own eyes, that ain't a good time. That ain't a time of great blessing. I think that perhaps our nation is in the condition that it's in today because we've been doing that which is right in our own eyes. It was a dark time in Israel. It was a time where God was judging Israel, and this instance of what was occurring in the book of Ruth, I believe, was occurring during one of those times when God was judging the nation for their wickedness. And my friends, we should take heed that God is, again, a God being an active ruling God. He's concerned with our behavior. He was concerned with the behavior of Israel, and where there was a time of famine in the land. Some commentators have said that perhaps this was during the time of Gideon, during the time when he was to be the judge of Israel, because there was a famine during that time. But whatever time it was a time of great difficulty in the land. There was a famine in the land, and the famine had gotten so grievous that here was a man, Elimelech, that thought that the only solution to his problem was to go into the pagan land and try to seek refuge. So what we see here in the book of Ruth is that there's just poor judgment after poor judgment after poor judgment. But my friends, I want to make this point in case I forget it later, that God is faithful to bless. God looks after us even when we make poor decisions, doesn't He? That's a wonderful blessing to think about. Certainly God blesses us in obedience, and the Bible teaches that. But I'll be honest with you, my friends, God has blessed me even when I've made dumb decisions. God's blessed me in spite of myself. So when we think about the providence of God, we got to remember that. You know, even at my very best, my judgment isn't all that great when compared to the standard of God. But He blesses and He provides. So that's what we see here. So think about this when we look at the book of Ruth. You know, this is a wonderful blessing, a wonderful encouragement to those of us that make poor choices. This is a wonderful word of encouragement for those of us that may be a point in our life where we feel that God has clean forsaken us. You know, apparently as we read on, we see Naomi still trusted in the sovereignty of God, but she, you know, she had a lot of doubts, didn't she? She had a lot of inner turmoil, if you will. But what a wonderful blessing that God was still ruling. Here's a wonderful blessing of encouragement that we as God's people, we should be maintaining our integrity, maintaining our Christian walk, even when things get tougher than we ever imagined that they would get. So here's what's going on here in the book of Ruth. The family leaves Israel and they go into Moab, one of the places where the enemies of the people of God existed. They thought, Elimelech apparently thought, well, we'll go here. There will be better opportunities for us to make a living, for us to feed our family. Well, things just continue to go downhill because of that. Well, he dies. And while they're in Moab, their sons did one of the big taboos for an Israelite family. The daughters married, or the sons married daughters of Moab. They married pagan wives. So again, we have more poor judgment. We have bad decision after bad decision, compounded bad decisions. Then the sons die, and there's these two daughters. These two daughters apparently love their mother-in-law, but their mother-in-law says to them, I'm not going to have any more children. Even if I did have children, would you wait until they were old enough to be of marrying age. So she sends them on their way. One goes and one stays. And that's Ruth. We understand who Ruth is, but what a wonderful blessing we see in the life of Ruth. So you see, bad decision after bad decision. We see some unimaginable challenges that were going on. You know, in our own lives, have you ever gotten to the point where you've made so many bad decisions that you've asked yourself the question, well, will God ever bless me again? You know, has God clean left me? Yeah. Or maybe you've had circumstances. We've heard the prayer requests this morning of those that are going through personal, physical afflictions, those that are going through sufferings. And for every spoken prayer request, there's probably twice as many unspoken prayer requests of people going through personal turmoils, people going through struggles with sin, struggles with difficulties in their lives. Have you ever got to the point where you just wondered where God was? Well, my friends, we see that God is here. First of all, just kind of to fast forward along, understand that the book of Ruth is indeed replete with God. We see God throughout the pages of this book. Amen. But we see God's purpose, don't we? You know, you can go to the very end of the book of Ruth. You know, sometimes you like to turn to the end of a book that you're reading just to make sure everything turns out okay. Remember, this Ruth was going to be the one that was going to be an ancestor of King David. So understand, in the midst of these dark times, poor decision after poor decision compounded, God is still ruling. God is still on His throne. God's purpose has not been thwarted. Isn't that a wonderful blessing to think about? Now you say, well, here were some people that weren't obeying God. Absolutely. And there was a nation that wasn't obeying God. You know, and God was fulfilling the promises of the book of Leviticus, wasn't He? That, you know, when they turned from Him, there was going to be judgment. But God was still on His throne. God was still ruling. God was still reigning. Right. And here's something amazing to think about as well. In the midst of all of this that was going on, God was even able to bless in the midst of poor decisions of others. Well, you had, you know, Elimelech that led his family into a place that they never should have gone. You had their sons marrying women that they never should have married, but you see God blessing, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, what happens? Let's go back to the book of Ruth for just a minute. We see all of this going on. The sons die, all that are left are the daughters. And again, apparently they loved their mother-in-law, but there was a difference between one of the daughters and the other one. We see that one goes back to, I'm assuming she goes back to her family. But we have one here that Ruth, that apparently God had been working on her. So you talk about the blessings of God in the midst of bad situations. My friends, I don't know all of your personal situations, but you may be at the point where you see no light at the end of the tunnel. You say, well, just I've made so many choices in my life that are poor choices that there's just no way out. I've made poor decisions. I have been in the flesh. I have hurt people. I have just done so many things that there's no way that God can bless me out of this mess. But we see this here with this one Ruth, that God and His sovereignty was still working. God and His providence was still acting, wasn't He? Because notice, again, going back to what we read at the latter part of Ruth chapter 1, we see it here was Ruth. She said to her mother-in-law again, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God." I want to ask you a question real quick this morning. How did Ruth learn that? Again, we have some people that made a bunch of bad decisions. Did she learn about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because of the faithfulness of her in-laws? Well, they made poor decisions in going to that country. You know, did she learn it from her husband? No, my friends, I submit to you that here was God, you know, blessing with His Spirit one of His people. You know, you ask, well, how those folks in the Old Testament time, how did they understand spiritual things? Well, it was by the Spirit of God. And here was one here that was blessed by God. My friends, God is able to bless you in your mess. Now, that's not an endorsement to continue in sinful activity or to continue to make poor decisions, but I want you to understand that God is still on His throne, and the stupidest of decisions that we make, they're not going to cast God off of His sovereign throne. He's able to bless, and for the child of God, my friends, there is never a point of no return. That's a wonderful blessing, because we serve a God of providence. We serve a sovereign God over all. And we see that here with Ruth. She says, you know, I'm going to go with you. Your people shall be my people. That didn't come because the children of Israel were such great people. You know, they were a faithless bunch at this time. They had turned away from God. But she says, your God is going to be my God. You know, and I tell you this, parents, don't ever give up hope on your kids. You know, sometimes we think, well, our kids just make such decisions that they're past the point of no return. No, don't ever do that.
Amen.
Here was Ruth, here of the Moabites, of this people that were enemies of Israel. And she says here, your God's going to be my God.
Right.
My friends, the same God that was on His throne and ruling during the time of Ruth, during the time of Judges, He's just the same today. And she says, where you die, Lord, I'm going to die. Where you're going to be buried, I'm going to be buried. My friends, that was the work of God.
Amen.
What a wonderful blessing. And what we have here in Ruth is a wonderful example of godly womanhood. You want a wonderful example of how you should conduct yourself as a woman? Here it is. Difficult circumstances. Just dysfunctional family. But she still stands for God. What a blessing that is.
Amen.
She had faith in God despite the setbacks of life. And oh, my friends, what a freedom that gave. Naomi, she tries to discourage her, doesn't she? Naomi thought, well, there's, you know, God is sovereign. Now, what Naomi thought was that she was in the midst of God's judgment, and there was just no way out of that.
Yeah.
You know, she said, you know, she was bitter. She said, you just call me bitter. Now, in her bitterness, I don't think she ever disavowed God and His sovereignty. But she thought, well, I'm in the midst of the judgment of God. Just get away from me. There's nothing good that can come of this. Get away from me. Go live your own life. But no, she says, I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to be a sister to you. Your God is going to be my God.
Right.
You know, you ask your question about, you know, have you ever just thought about Naomi's theology? You know, part of it was right, wasn't it? We go back to what she says later on. We didn't read all the way down. But in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. Naomi did everything she could to discourage her, and she wasn't going to be discouraged, so she stopped speaking to her. Well, what happens? Well, it says in verse 19, they went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass that they were when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? That's what she says, verse 20. She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty again. Why then call ye Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? Now, she never disavowed God and His sovereignty. But what she did forget is that she serves a God of mercy and a God of providence. She had forgotten about what God had done to Joseph, didn't she? Remember what happened to Joseph? Well, Joseph was carried into a strange land. He was sold into slavery. We understand what happened in Potiphar's house, and he was thrown into prison. He was forgotten about for a time. But what did Joseph say when he confronted when he was able to confront his brethren, his brothers in the flesh that had sold him into slavery? And he said, well, in Genesis chapter 50, he says, as for you, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for good. Now, here's what we need to understand, that God is able to bless us in the midst of our mess. She had the mess part right. I believe that they suffered judgment, the judgment of God. But when she went too far in thinking that in the midst of this judgment, there was just no hope whatsoever. My friends, our sovereign God, He's able to bless us, again, in the midst of the most difficult situations. And I think sometimes we get bitter because we forget that and we throw up our hands and give up hope. Now, this doesn't mean that God is orchestrating everything in the world, but I have to trust what Joseph said to be true, that God is able to bless when tough times, when evil would abound around us, God's able to bless us through that. Now, that doesn't mean that He's going to give us everything that we hope. Have you noticed in life there are times when you're doing the right thing, when you're doing what God's commanded you to do, and troubles and trials come anyway? You know, we have to recognize that those things happen. But my friends, even in the darkest of times, God's able to bless. And that's what the book of Ruth is about. God is going to bless in an incredible way. God is going to bless, and His will is going to be done in spite of all of the chaos around. And I think Naomi, her theology, like I said, it was partially right. But she forgot that God was able to bless, you know, bless her to come out of the valley and back onto the mountaintop.
That's right.
And that's hope, isn't it, my friends?
Amen.
So just think about this. When we think about this, again, this is just kind of an introductory overview, and hope to look a little bit more in the coming weeks. But here's a few takeaways from this. God is sovereign. Do you understand that? He's the sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right.
My friends, we oftentimes readily acknowledge the sovereignty of God in eternal salvation. I hope you do. You know, the Bible teaches that we were chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. We understand that the Apostle Paul's words to be true. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. All of those promises are true. It's because God is sovereign. My friends, I want you to understand that the same God that's sovereign in eternal salvation, He's sovereign right now in the day-to-day activities of life. And that's what we see here in the book of Ruth. Again, we look at the end. We see that this is, you know, Ruth is going to be somewhere along the way the great, 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 great grandmother of King David. God is working. God's will is going to be done in this world. But God was going to bless His people in the midst of God's will being done. You know, His people were going to be blessed. He was going to manifest mercy. He was going to manifest grace towards them. We were going to see redemption come because of the blessing of God. God is sovereign. Yeah, He rules the nations, as we saw in the book of Daniel some time ago. He worketh His will amongst the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. And the Bible says, none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Don't forget that. Don't ever get so dignified and educated that you just educate your way out of that sure promise of God.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happened during Jesus' time. The Sadducees, they denied the resurrection. They said, well, there's this, you know, if we can't really lay our hands on it, then, you know, it can't be so. Not the Gnostics later on in the New Testament would be the same way. Well, we've outgrown, we've evolved that from that. And we have to be careful today in our society where we have all these technological achievements and these advancements in medicines and advancements in science. We don't ever need to get so dignified that we forget that it's God who's actually ruling and governing over all. So in the book of Ruth, we see the sovereignty of God.
Amen.
Compounded poor decisions. Been there, done that. But God blesses in spite of it. We see God's providence. Now, I don't want to, you know, we could wade off in the providence of God and just bog down in it and get into all the intricacies. But I just want you to understand that God's hand is ruling and working in this world that we're living in today. You know, do you not see the hand of God in this? You know, with this Ruth, this Moabitess, you know, acknowledging that Naomi's God's going to be her God and that love that she showed, that was the hand of God in that.
Amen.
The providence working God.
Amen.
You know, it would be easy to say, and some could probably make an argument that, you know, it was a sin for them to go to Moab. Yes. But God bless us. And I tell you, that reminds me of the 34th Psalm. I believe it's about Psalm 34 and verse 19. What does the Word of God say? It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but what does it say? The Lord delivers them out of them all. Yeah. You know, what's that saying? Well, you know, we get ourselves in trouble. We get ourselves in afflictions, but God is able and God will deliver. Not a blessing to think about. Don't ever think that the sins of your past have annihilated any hope for the future, spiritually speaking or otherwise. Our God is so great, He's able to bless in spite of the stupid decisions that we make. God's providence, God's sovereignty, God's purpose. Again, what do we see here? This is the lineage of the King David. And ultimately, this is the natural lineage of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. You know, He's the He's the son of David.
That's right.
You know, we see God's purpose working here. Sometimes you listen to preachers on TV and the radio, or maybe read after certain people, and they say, "Well, God's working to just make everything great for us." He's working to make us happy. He's working to, you know, that's a big false doctrine today. That basically, you know, God's just existing to dispense blessings to us. But my friends, what we see here is God's purpose in the book of Ruth. Now, I believe it's more doctrinally correct to say that we're blessed because of God working His will. You know, we're blessed recipients of the grace and mercy and providence of God as He works out His will. And what we see here in the book of Ruth is God's purpose coming to fruition. You know, here's something to think about as you're reading the Old Testament. From the book of Genesis all the way through, we have God's purpose being fulfilled. Now, we have Satan trying to thwart the purpose of God, don't we? But what happens? God's purposes come to being, don't they? They come to fruition. We have a purpose-working sovereign God. And, you know, there had been prophecy after prophecy from Genesis on that the Messiah was coming, the Redeemer was coming, Christ was coming. And God's purpose was fulfilled in that, wasn't it? My friends, we understand on this side of the cross that the Lord's coming back someday. Do you think that there's any events in this world that's going to hinder that from coming?
No.
You think that the wickedness of man's going to hinder God? You think the armies of Satan are going to be able to amass themselves and put up a fight against our Lord and prevent Him from doing His will? No. We don't believe in the Star Wars theology. It's not up in the air who's going to win. Jesus has already won. And the book of Ruth teaches us that God's purposes will come to pass. And we're the blessed recipients of grace, mercy, peace, and long-suffering in the midst of God fulfilling His purposes. Isn't that wonderful to think about?
Amen.
And my friends, here's one final point that I want you to think about. As we look at the book of Ruth, and specifically Ruth, the response that she gives to her mother-in-law. You know, isn't there a wonderful blessing to know when we understand the sovereignty of God? When we understand the providence of God? When we understand the purpose of God, there's a great freedom in that. Some people will say, well, if I believed in the sovereignty of God like you do, you know, I wouldn't worry about anything. I would just do whatever I wanted to do. Somebody made the reference this past weekend. If I believed in, you know, in the sovereignty of God, I'd just stand out in the street. No. What we have when we understand the sovereignty of God and that God's hand is in the midst of us working His will is that it gives us freedom, doesn't it? Now, here's what happens here. With Ruth, what does she do? Well, she leaves everything that she knows to go and follow Naomi, to go and worship the true God, the sovereign King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, the wonderful blessing, and when we understand that God rules over all, it gives us freedom. It gives us boldness. You know, the doctrine of the sovereignty of God isn't a do-nothing doctrine, but it's a motivating doctrine. It'll bless you to skip a little bit of study time to be in the service of God. It'll bless us to be bold in the midst of great persecution because we know that God is the one that's in control. Yeah. And that He's actively involved in our lives. You know, when we believe in the true sovereignty of God, we're not as shaken as those around us in the world. No, stock market crashes, so be it. God's still on His throne. You know, I lose my health, I lose my vitality. You know, that's okay because this world isn't my home and Christ Jesus laid down His life to save me from my sins. And if I close my eyes in death, I'll awake in the presence of the Lord. That's freedom, isn't it?
Amen.
What a wonderful blessing to think about. Now, what we need to understand, though, is the day-to-day things that occur in life, we're not going to always understand why we have to go through what we're going through. Why we have to deal with the difficulties of life. And perhaps that's where Naomi was. You know, you just call me bitter. God has dealt with me. He's judged me. I deserve all of this. And perhaps at this point, again, Naomi didn't understand the end game, if you will. that God was sovereign and that there was going to be great blessing. She was going to soon understand that. But, She was just looking at her present problems. And I think that's where we get into difficulty from time to time, through the process. Brother David mentioned Facebook. I was skimming Facebook this morning. I confess, I was trolling Facebook this morning. I believe it was Brother Jimmy Bennett had a little blurb on Facebook this morning. But it talked about the church with the new pastor coming in and the old country deacon offering prayer. Said that it was the pastor's first day at the church there on Sunday morning, and he called on the deacon to pray, and deacon gets down and he starts to pray and says, "Lord, I just hate buttermilk." Preacher looked at him, if someone said that here, we'd look askew. "Lord, I just hate buttermilk, and Lord, how I just hate flour. I hate lard, Lord. I just hate that lard with a passion. But you know what, Lord? I love biscuits, warm biscuits, when they come out of the oven." Then the old deacon said, "Lord, help us to realize here in life, when life gets hard, when things come up that we don't like, whenever we don't understand what You're doing, Lord, that we need to wait and see what You're making. After You get through mixing and baking, Lord, it's probably something that You're giving us that's much better than biscuits." Isn't that a blessing to think about? the trials and adversities of life, we may not understand. We may not ever understand here on this side of things why we're going through the trials that we're going through. But Lord, help us to continue to trust in a sovereign God and go a step beyond Naomi and understand that perhaps there's something far greater waiting for us. And we understand eternally there's something far greater come what may here in this world. Heaven is our home. If we just close our eyes in death right now, that's a blessing, isn't it? Because we'll awaken the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
My friends, may we ever be a people of faith that understands that our God is a God of sovereignty. Our God is a providence-working God. Our God is a purpose-working God. I pray that he would add his blessing as we strive to serve him.
Thank the Lord. Turn to hymn number 296. Hymn number 296. Thank the Lord for the glorious, glorious truths, encouraging, soul-feeding, good nourishment for our souls. There's been a great debate ever since I've been in the ministry between the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. If God is in charge and he's sovereign, then I have no responsibility. I just, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And that is such a misuse of the sovereignty of God. And I appreciated Brother Michael's balanced approach to the truth of God's sovereignty. God is in charge. I visited with a minister over Thanksgiving who said he thought that we needed to back away from saying God is in control. That makes God responsible for everything. I'm not going to back away from saying God's in control. God is in control. That doesn't make him the author of everything that occurs. God's not the author of my sin. But this summer, first time ever, I thought it never. This summer, for Boo's graduation, his mother's carrying him on a cruise, and I'm going with them. Gosh. But you, listen, do you think they're letting me set the time of departure for the ship? No. I have not been consulting. I would appreciate it if they consult me about it, but they're not. Do you think I get to choose the route that we're going to go? Is the course up to me that the ship's going to sail? They're not going to consult. Do you think they're going to stop where I tell them stop? I have input I'd like to provide to them. They're not asking. I have nothing to do with the departure time, with the course that we're going to sail, our arrival, and when we get back. I have nothing to do with that. But on the ship, listen to me, on the ship, there are many activities that I can either involve myself in or not involve myself in. I have choices to make while I'm on the ship. I'm free to conduct myself as I choose while I'm on the ship. There is a great balance between, and I intend to hit every restaurant on that ship. I'm going to make a lot of food choices while I'm on the ship. And that is the way your life is. God is sovereign. He has charted the course for your life. He knows, and we can debate this all day long. He knows the time that you arrived in this world, and he knows when you're going to leave this world. But you have a lot of choices to make in between here and there. And knowing that God is in charge and in control and he is sovereign makes me more careful about those choices, Amen. Knowing I worship that kind of God. That was a glorious message this morning, and how thankful we are for the truths of the sovereignty of God. You're not going to hear that everywhere. Turn on the radio. You're not going to hear that everywhere. Before we publish Open Door of the Church, I failed to mention Sister Sharon Jarvis this morning, who we visited with prior to her surgery. Please pray for her. Pray God would continue to bless her and to convalesce. The initial news was a little better than expected. Please pray for Sister Sharon. That's Sister Karen Jarvis's mother-in-law, Brother Richie's mother. Also, this evening, we're going to gather at Brother Daryl Register's home, and we look forward to that. Everyone's going to gather there who will gather there. We're going to try to eat. We said about 5:30, right, Brother Daryl? Around 5:30. If you would like to bring a dip, if you would like to bring Lipton onion soup mix dip with sour cream and Ruffles potato chips, that'd be fine. You bring what you want to bring. You have choices to make, but if you feel burdened to bring that, that'd be fine. But if you want to bring a little side arm, if you want to bring a 2-liter drink that you like, you enjoy, a beverage you enjoy, it's a wonderful place. They have a lovely home, and I'm confident the fellowship will be great. If you're here this morning and these truths struck a chord in your heart, if they resonated with you, then we invite you to come to the safety of the kingdom of God. Come to God's house and go with us, and we will seek to walk hand in hand with you every step of the way for the rest of your life and be the strength and the nourishment that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been designed by God that it should be in your life. There is no better place to make this journey than in the house of God, and we encourage you to do that while we sing this hymn, and then come and bid Brother Mike Godspeed. Brother Doug, would you come? Let's all